Your song. Appreciate your prayers this afternoon. Pray that the Lord bless His word. Thankful already for the meeting. Are you raining? You know, I think about that song and I'd like to look a little bit at it, I think, just briefly, but what was that verse that you mentioned, Brother Ivan? Was it number? Shall we then by sin be humbled? Must we yield to any foe? Do we have to be a victim? Do we have to allow the enemy to defeat us? Or do we have to be in a defeated mindset or be even defeated in actuality? Do we have to walk in a defeated path? God has given us much more than that through salvation. You know, Jesus came. He died on the cross to save us from our sins. And you know, that blood cleansing, it washes away our sins.
That's right.
Right? And gives us a new opportunity or a new chance in life to do things right. Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is.
To be able to have a clean slate, to be able to start over, if you will. But you know, I was thinking about it, and we can go from that state of being washed and cleaned and made new and having that white board again. And we can go from there and try to follow all the guidelines in the scriptures and get out the commandments that are in there and endeavor to follow those commands and to try to do it right, right? But you know that those commands only go so far. You know, you can go through the Old Testament and read the things that He told them to do. He told them to not to eat these things or to wash these bowls. Or, you know, He told them things that they could do physically. Don't commit adultery. That's something that they can physically not do. Right? Don't kill. He gave them laws that they can physically not do. And we can go about from our clean slate and endeavor not to do those things physically. But I want to tell us that there's more than that. You know, we can go about our lives and try to address all those physical aspects of our lives. Maybe we dress a certain way or maybe we conduct ourselves in a certain way around others. And all of that is good. I'm not saying that we ought to scrap all that. All I'm saying is that there's more to it than that. And I think that when we... when we come to the Lord for salvation, we recognize something. We say, Lord, you know, I'm not right. I haven't lived my life right. These things that I've done are wrong. I should not have done these things. And I acknowledge it. I see the evil of it. I see the wrong in it. And I pray that you'd forgive me and wash me and cleanse me. And the Lord says, come to me. He offers us that opportunity to have all that washed and all that cleaned and purified and cleansed. I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 and verse 21. He says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. So there we have it, one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. And Jesus is telling them, you've heard that it was said this. And you've endeavored to follow that. And many of them succeeded in not killing anyone else. Right? Verse 22 says, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Jesus was explaining something to them in this Sermon on the Mount here. You know, that law or that carnal commandment that you could call it was something that could almost be fulfilled carnally in the sense that they can endeavor or they can withhold from doing those physical acts. But this right here is going a little bit further. You might be able not to kill your brother, or you might be able to not slap him in the face, or you might be able to withhold yourself in a physical way. But what about your heart? What's going on in there? You might have it in your heart that you wish you could. I wish I could just slap him right now. But your holiness refrains you. Right? It's more.
Yes, it is.
And although we can do these things or withhold ourselves from the outward thing, the Lord is telling them, He's giving them something. He's showing them something. Just like we were able to see our sin and say, Lord, I see it. I see where the wrong was. I see where I've failed you, or I see how I ought not have been. He's helping them to see a deeper side of themselves that needs to be addressed. Yes, you have fulfilled this command and you have not killed. But what's in your heart? Where is that anger at? What is that bitterness? What is that vengefulness that's in you? And what do we do about that? Verses 27. He says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And so that's referring to the one that's feasting on the flesh with his eyes and maybe in his heart he's doing these things, but he's physically not doing them. And he could say, well, I'm clean. I never did it. I never acted on it. But the Lord is revealing that there's something in the heart that's not right. That it shouldn't have gone to that way in your heart. You know, I think about the commandments and like I said, so many of them, and I'm not going to say none of them gave a spiritual reference of a command, but we don't really read that it says, thou shalt not be proud. Or thou shalt be patient. Or thou shalt not be bitter. You know, it maybe addresses those things and shows their negative connotations or how they're despised by God or not pleasing unto the Lord. But I don't recall seeing a whole lot of commands saying, you better stop that. Because it's not something that you just flick on a switch and you're not bitter anymore. Or you flip up a switch and you're not proud anymore. Or you flip a switch and you're no longer desirous of honor among others. Or you no longer have that desire to be thought well of others or to be praised or to be idolized. You know, people go through their lives wanting to be idolized and wanting others to worship them in a sense and praise their actions and praise the way they live. But those things can dwell within our hearts. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. Romans 7 and 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. So I'm gonna say that Paul, in writing this, is essentially writing to the one that is in the flesh, who's walking in the flesh. He's endeavoring to serve the Lord in the flesh, but he's not finding within him the power or the ability to do that which is good. Not to the depth of what the Scripture was saying with Jesus saying, not just the outward of not killing somebody, but going deeper into the whether you're angry at them without a cause or the bitterness that you can have towards them. He's not finding it within himself. Because if you think of Paul, he was one of the ones that said he lived as a Pharisee. He lived under the most strictest adherence to the law. But yet there was something missing. And he had to come to that realization. And I believe that under the law, he was carnally, he was fulfilling maybe everything that was there was to be fulfilled, but there was something that he could not address. There was something that he could not get to, and neither can we. We can see it, and the Lord can open our eyes to it, and he can help us to be like, I see what's going on, Lord. What is this that's in my heart? Why am I like that? Or why am I allowing this situation to make me so angry? Or why am I allowing this offense to make me bitter? Why can't I forgive them, Lord? Why can't I come to the point where I can just forgive them from my heart? Not just forgiving them with a smile on my face, but there's bitterness in my heart. But how do I go to the depths of the thing where I can literally and sincerely say, I love you and I forgive you and I know exactly the evils that you've done against me, but I'm choosing to love you and I'm choosing to forgive you. The Word of God saying that to love your enemies, to pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. You don't just decide to do that. You might want to do that. You might have a desire to do that. You might even say, I decide to do it. But you won't do it by yourself. You won't do it just by gritting your teeth and knuckling under and pressing in. Does it need to be done? Absolutely. He said, we are reigning over sin. And those things are sin just as much as the physical act. And we can reign over those things. We don't have to be subservient to them. We don't have to accept them in our lives and say, well, it's just the way it is. That's just how I am. No. That we don't have to be that way. And just like we could come to the Lord and realize that we don't have to continue to bear the burden or bear the weight of our sin that we've committed and just begrudgingly, you know, walk under it and wonder, oh, if I could only get deliverance of this, if I could only be free from the guilt of the things that I have done, the Lord can give you that. He can give you that. He lifts those burdens off. He says that you're forgiven of your sins and you're delivered. But not only does he do that, but he goes much deeper than that. What does it say? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord wants to help us all the way to the root of it. And so that first step, if you will, of acknowledging what we have done, already committed, and needing deliverance or forgiveness for that, He addresses that and gives us that. But then I believe that we, endeavoring to serve the Lord and beginning on our walk to please the Lord, and we get to where we realize that there's more to it than just being forgiven. There's more to it than just having the shame removed and the guilt removed. But He wants to give us power to walk and to live and to serve Him. Real power, real victory, real freedom from sin. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. I see a battle that's taking place in this individual's heart and saying that I want to do good, I want to do right, but somehow I still see this bitterness coming up in me. Somehow I still see this unforgiveness and this blockage. For whatever reason, I still hold it against them. I can't forgive them. I can't love them. Not to the depths of my heart where I'm willing to just let it all go. But I'm still holding on to it. I'm still allowing it to eat at me. Bitterness is the poison that you drink hoping someone else dies.
That's right. Yes. That's true.
But it's killing you.
Yes.
It's eating you up inside. It's hindering you.
Yes.
He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. This is like a root of sin. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I don't know about you, but I felt this way before. Where I just felt like I was struggling. Fighting and endeavoring to beat these spiritual enemies. And feeling at a loss for how to overcome them. Feeling at a loss for, you know, what am I doing wrong? Or what am I missing? Where is it that I need help? It's almost like we read it like a carnal commandment. Thou shalt not be proud. We read it like a carnal commandment and we endeavor or we think that we ought to somehow fulfill it carnally. Like we would not, or like we would withhold ourselves from adultery or something. And we think that we are just going to knuckle under and somehow resist it carnally. But it doesn't work that way, folks. It doesn't work that way. You're not going to just knuckle under and not be proud anymore. And it can be very discouraging if you're doing that and wondering why you're not successful. Wondering, you know, why am I not beating this thing? Why am I still this way? Why do I still harbor these things in my heart? Why am I not reigning like the song says? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You want to know how to reign? You want to know how to overcome those things that are in your heart that you don't seem to be able to have the power or the ability to overcome? It's through Jesus Christ. Just the same way that He paid the price for you to have your sins forgiven and washed and cleansed. He's also the same one that's going to go down into the root of you, the root of your heart, and He's going to cleanse all those things out of you. And He's going to make you completely new, a new creature in Christ Jesus, a new creation. And then we have this almost like a defeated chapter of, oh, what shall I do? How can I overcome this? This is just a heart-rending. to want to do good and want to do right and not being able to find the ability to do it, it's discouraging. But then he gets the answer and says, I know that through Jesus Christ, it can change.
That's right.
And then we go on and read chapter 8, and I suggest everyone do that. Don't stop at chapter 7. Don't stop there and say, oh, woe is me. What is this thing that I'm in? But realize that Jesus Christ can deliver you from that. And you can go on into chapter 8. Where we're not walking in the flesh anymore. We're not walking in a way to try to fulfill some carnal commandment, if you will, or to walk carnally to live for the Lord. But we're walking in the Spirit. And he says that if we can walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And in verse 1 it says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And so we can now walk in the Spirit. And allow the Spirit of God to move in our lives. Allow the Spirit of God to work on these things and to uproot these things. And allow us to have victory over our hearts and what's in them.
Thank
the Lord wants to give us complete victory. Not just a semblance of victory or an outward appearance of victory. But He wants to give us victory all the way down to the depths of our hearts. Peter, 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto... Well, let's read 3, 2. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Why does God need to give us a divine nature? Our old nature was corrupt. Because we needed it. We needed it. He's not offering us something if we didn't need it. But it's absolutely necessary. It's essential for us to have this. This is what I'm talking about. This is to the depths of us. It's not, you know, sometimes we can just feel okay. That we're following the outward things and we're following the things that we can do in the flesh and feel like it's all right. But the Lord wants us to go even further than that. He wants us to desire it. We need to acknowledge the need of it. He's not just giving it to us without us being aware of our need. The same as He doesn't give you salvation or forgiveness of sins until you acknowledge it and accept it and confess it and repent of it. I believe the Lord wants us to know that there's a root problem so that He can deliver us from it, and we can praise Him and honor Him and glorify Him for it and not think somehow that it was a result of our own work or our own fleshly or carnal ability. He wants to give us a divine nature. And he gave them a little bit of a, I don't know, like maybe a warning that it was what He wanted to do. Let's go to Ezekiel. He told them something that kind of gave them an idea that this was what He desired for them. Because the children of Israel, like we said, was living all their lives with the commandments. And the commandments were good. It was necessary. I mean, it withheld them to a point from from utter corruption, because they had some things that they could go by that they can live out. But it was never really meant to be the all in all. And that's why Jesus, when he taught, went deeper than that. Because he wanted them to get what it was really all about. Ezekiel 36 and 25. He says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you." You can almost say step one. He's going to cleanse them. He's going to purify them. He's going to wash them from their filthiness. I imagine the children of Israel, when they were going to the Mount Sinai, the Lord told them, sanctify yourselves. And the limit of what they could do basically was wash their clothes, to take a bath, and try to stay clean for a little while, right, before presenting themselves unto God. And it was kind of showing that there was something needed for them to be able to be in God's presence. You can't just be in His presence all filthy and nasty. And so he would instruct them to cleanse themselves. And so God is offering them that. I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to wash you. I'm going to purify you from all your idols. But he goes further. He doesn't want us to stop there. But he says, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. When you sit there and you're struggling, you're wondering, what's going on with me? Why am I fighting myself? Why am I battling myself? I want to do right. I want to do good. You know, I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be proud. I don't want to have this going on in my heart or in my life. Lord, help me. And he says, I will help you. Yes. I can help you and I will help you. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. And take out, what do you say? And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Why would he say that? Why is he going to say that? You know, people say, well, I have a good heart. They say that because they're not really seeing the wrong of what's in their heart. Because God is saying, I'll give you a new heart. And he's telling them that because they need it. He's telling us because we need it. And you know, it's not something for us to begrudge God about, or to begrudge me for telling you that. That shouldn't be something where you're like, oh, well, he doesn't know me, or he doesn't, you know. That should be something where we say, praise God. I've been wondering about that. I've been struggling with this because I want to serve the Lord. I want to be all that he would have me to be. I want to have that pureness of heart and that inner goodness within me. And I've been fighting it, and now I can see that I can have it. It's like you telling somebody they can be saved and that they can have their sins forgiven. Praise God. I've been under this burden. I've been under this weight all this time. And I'm just so thankful to know that it can be freed of it. And that's what God is offering us within our hearts too. That we can reign even there. And I will put my spirit within you. God is offering us His Spirit to dwell within us, to walk with us, to instruct us, to guide us in our lives, and to help us in our hearts. He said, I'll give you my Spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. Not just the carnal commandments, but even to the depths of it, that God is going to enable us to walk. You know, I said it's not something that we're just knuckle under and we're able to do it. But with God and His Spirit walking in us, yes, you can overcome. Yes, you can win. Yes, you can be victorious in the Lord. And that is His Word that says it. And I can tell you that the Lord has given me victory. And He's enabled me to live this life. And that should make us say, thank the Lord. Rather than thinking, you know, rather than recoiling from it, as if it's some form of additional oppression on us. It's not.
That's right.
It's a deliverance. It's an added deliverance of what God wants to do in our lives and in our hearts. Let's go to Psalms. Psalms 51. So this psalm, I believe, was written after David had committed adultery and murder. He took a man's wife, and then that same man was a soldier under his authority, and he commanded that that man be sent to the front of the battle, and that everyone else retreat from him, so that he would die. And this was an inner problem that David had for him to do that. This was a good man. But he was endeavoring to hide. I say Uriah was a good man. A faithful servant. So faithful that when Uriah came home from the battle, that David was trying to hide his sin. David was trying to hide what he did. And the man comes back from the battle, and he was going to have him go back to his house to be with his wife so that David could hide his lie. And this man's integrity said, no, I'll not do that. My men are out there in the battle. And am I going to come home and I'm going to sleep in my own bed with my wife? No, not going to happen. That's not right. And he slept at the king's gate. And so David had to find another plan and sends him off into battle and commands the other soldiers to depart from him. That's a cold thing. And you know, people wonder, you know, why would they say that David was a man after God's heart? But I'll tell you this. David didn't fully comprehend or realize all of what he was doing. But when the man of God came and told him a story of the little lamb that was a pet to the family, they loved him. That lamb slept with them and ate from their table. It was a sweet lamb. And the neighbor that had thousands of sheep, or however many it was, took that sweet lamb and fed his guests with it. Oh. David was livid. He what? Oh, just tell me who he is. Just reveal him right now, and I will make judgment on this. And Nathan told him, you are the man, David. Wow. I mean, David was put aback. But rather than say, let this man of God die for what he has revealed, it pricked David to his heart and he acknowledged it. Yes. You're right. I am the man. And so here we have a psalm that many believe was written after that event. And in verse 9, he says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. We can do that, you know. We can, I mean, murder, adultery. I mean, I don't know. That's pretty severe. Pretty hard to top it as far as the egregiousness of what he had done. And he says, Lord, hide your face from that. Or blot it out, or cleanse it, or purify it. And then he says he needs something more. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David knew that it needed to go deeper than just the forgiveness of it, just the hiding it away of my sin. David tried to hide his sin, but that's not going to help. We needed to go all the way to the depths and receive complete cleansing from the sin and the washing of it, and also for God to create in us a clean heart. Let's go to Hebrews real quick. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 and 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You know, sometimes we can look at that verse and think, holiness. Holiness is the requirement. I can't be holy. Right? So many people say, well, I can't be holy. They might say, well, I can't be sinless. I can't not do this, or I can't not do that. And they might bring about justifications for it, or show examples of situations, or whatever you want to bring to the table, any kind of scenario. And the reality is maybe you can't. But yet the Word of God is saying to walk in holiness. And it says also, without which no man shall see the Lord. And so here we are back in chapter 7 of Romans, wondering, oh, wretched man that I am. If this is the requirement, if this is what God wants, then what can I do? What is my possible solution here? I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Grace being not just His favor, but grace being His power within you. The divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Don't let the root of bitterness prevent you from walking in the Spirit and holiness. And it's not just the root of bitterness. It's the root of lust, or it's the root of pride, or it's the root of vanity, or desiring that people honor you or respect you, or whatever you want to plug into that, that is something that is in the root of our hearts, that God wants to address those things. And just like we can come to the altar and say, Lord, I see the sin that I've committed. I see the wretchedness of it. I can see how I was wrong and how I failed you and how I should not have acted that way, and I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that. And we could pour all that out to God. And saying, this is what I have done. This is what my life consists of. And I reject it. I turn from it. I don't want it anymore. I don't want to be that way anymore. I don't want to walk it that way anymore. And I desire to be free of it, because it burdens me. It weighs heavily upon me. And I just need to be delivered of it, Lord. Can you please forgive me for all that I have done? Could you wash me from my sins and give me a new opportunity at life? And the Lord says, absolutely. But then we can also, with that same heart and that same prayer, look into the depths of our heart, and we can even ask God, examine my heart. Show me the areas that I don't see. Show me what needs to be addressed that maybe I'm not seeing, Lord. But I have a heart to be ever pure before you. I have a heart to want to do all that you would ask of me to do. And I want to be everything that you would have me to be. I want to have the character and the honor that you have, Lord. I want to be like you, Christ-like in this world. And Lord, I pray I see some areas in my heart, and maybe there's things that I don't see. And we come before the Lord and we pour out our heart to Him and say, Lord, I don't know what to do with this root of bitterness that's in me. I don't know what to do with this heart that is unable to forgive. Excuse me. Lord, please help me with these things. Deliver me from this. Pour it out before the Lord. Because just as He said that He'd wash you from your sins, He also said that He'd give you a new heart. And put a new spirit within you. And allow you to walk in His ways and His statutes. He wants to give it to you. And He just needs us to acknowledge our need for it. And to come before Him and to present it to Him and lay it all out to Him. And allow Him to work in our hearts. If you have a need today, whether it be the washing of your sins away, or that God go further into the depths of your heart to address the roots that are there, that are unpleasing unto Him, that are hindering your walk, or hindering your ability to serve God in the capacity that He would have you serve Him, then my prayer is that you would come down and pour your heart out to God and allow Him to address those areas in your life. We can reign. Just like the song said, we can reign over sin. We don't have to be subservient to it, but we can be delivered. And God wants to give us full deliverance today. I appreciate your time and attention this afternoon. Pray for me.